I'm Brad Spencer, your host, and welcome back to the Faith Connection, where we're teaching on the subject of faith. I love talking and teaching on faith because we live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Most people are walking by sight. What they feel, what they hear, you know, what they see. They're going by their sensory perception, and there's nothing wrong with the five senses. They're given to us that we might adapt to this physical world that we live in. But the five senses are of no value whatsoever in the spirit realm. What rules supreme in the realm of the spirit is faith. And see, we're spiritual and physical. The real you, if you're born again, is your spirit. So you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a physical body. Your body needs your five senses. If you're, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're asleep, and all of a sudden you begin to smell smoke, and the smoke detector alarm is going off, it might be good if you get out of bed and get out the house. And thank God for that. I mean, if you're at an intersection and the light turns in your favor, it turns green, and you start to go, but all of a sudden somebody is running the red light, and you see them and you stop quickly, you have avoided an accident. Thank God for your sense of sight. But these things are of no value. They don't work in the realm of the spirit. What works in the spirit realm is faith. So, we've talked about Jesus. We did in our last program being the apostle and high priest over our confession. He could have said over our salvation, over our eternity, but he said, no, he's the apostle and the high priest over our confession, the things that we say. And we found out, I want to hit this just a minute. This is the confidence, 1 John 5:14, that we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, which is his word, then he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desire of him. So pray the word. That's true scriptural prayer. Pray the word. When you pray the word, then you have confidence to know that God heard you. And if you know he heard you, you know you have it. Now go with me to the book of Romans, and we're going to look at chapter 4 and begin in verse 17. Romans 4, 17. I always have your Bible here on the Faith Connection so you can make sure it's saying what I'm saying it's saying. You can't get that with all teaching and preaching. They're just preaching. They're not taking you to the scriptures. Romans 4:17. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Now he's talking about Abraham. A father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead or gives life to dead things. Now, listen, Jesus didn't come into the earth to redeem us, to make bad people good, or to even make good people better. Jesus came to make dead people alive. Amen. To make dead people alive. Because when you died spiritually, your spirit died just like the first Adam's spirit died in the garden. I mean, before you got born again, that's the reason you're born again, is because you died spiritually. And Jesus came to give life to dead things. And you can also have death in your finances. As a born again believer, you can have death in your health, death in your walk, death in so many areas of life. But he came to give life to that which is dead. Notice the next statement, and calls those things, the King James language here, King James, and calls those things that be not as though they were. He came in order to give us the ability to walk by faith in that we call those things that be not as though they were. Or in other words, we call for that which we do not have. We're calling for what we don't have. And I know people, you know, they go, oh, well, now, wait a minute. You know, that's just some spiritual stuff, you know. I'm a realist. I believe in saying it like it is. Oh, you do, do you? Well, what happens if you have a dog and you go out on the back porch and the dog is not there? The dog be not. if you would allow me that. What do? Just turn around and go feed the cat because the dog be not? Well, I guess the dog's not there. I guess the dog doesn't exist. Well, wait a minute. Why not call for the dog? He might be over with the neighbor's dog. And so all of a sudden you begin, here, boy, here, come here. All of a sudden his ears perk up. He looks at his buddy and he says, I got to go. They're calling for me. And here he comes a running. Now, he wasn't there when you went looking for him. In other words, he be not. But what you did was you called for him. See, you could have been a realist and said, well, the dog's not here. I'll just feed the cat. No. You call for that which you do not have. Now, almost everybody today, even our young people, seems like everywhere you look, people have got these phones, and they're just, you see them like this. They're just all the time on these. I think I'm going to be ministering to a lot of people that have neck problems. But here they are. They're always on their phones. It seems like everybody's got a phone, a smartphone, some kind of cell phone. And see, let's say you want to talk to your friend. And so what you got to do is you've got to place a sequence of numbers together, which is their phone number, and hit the send button. And what it's going to do, it's going to make a connection to their phone, their smartphone. And now all of a sudden, there they are. You can even FaceTime them. You can see them by video as well as audio. Isn't that amazing? But you know, you could say, well, I'm a realist. I believe in saying it like it is. So you pick up your phone. Listen, you can stare at that phone for 20 days, 100 days, and it won't get you any closer to talking to your friend than the moment you started. It's not going to do anything. Texting is the same way. You're still calling for that which is not there. Well, but I believe in doing it that way. I'm a realist. No, you're not. You'll put in that sequence of numbers and you'll call your friend. See, you're calling for what you don't have. People do it all the time in the natural. But for some strange reason, when they come over to the Word of God, they want to be a realist. Oh, no. Do spiritually what you've been doing in the natural. Just like you get in an automobile. You got to hit a start button. You don't want to be found sitting in your automobile, your car, for 6 months in the same spot. Somebody said, what are you doing? Well, I'm a realist. The engine wasn't running. Well, no, why not hit the start button and the energy is going to come out of the battery and go into the starter. It's going to turn the engine over. The engine's going to begin to fire in a sequence. And all of that is going to energize your vehicle so you can drive it from point A to point B. What were you doing when you hit that start button? You were calling for the engine to start. Because it wasn't started when you got in. A realist would sit there for 6 months. But no, you do it. You do it. You call for that which you do not have. See, if you're a realist, stay away from elevators. You don't want to go near an elevator. Because you go to the elevator and you get up to the door and the doors are closed. The elevator be not. So if you're a realist, what you're going to have to do is take the stairs. Now, if it's up 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 flights of stairs, have fun. Me, I'm not a realist spiritually. What I'm going to do is call for what I do not have. I'm going to reach over and push that button on the wall beside the elevator. And when I push that button, it's going to send an impulse to the heart of the unit that runs that elevator. And it's going to say, hey, get down on the first floor and pick up Brad Spencer. He has need of you. And I am going to be patient. Those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I mean, if the door doesn't open 1 second after I push the button, I'm not headed toward the stairs. I am going to wait until the elevator arrives on the first level. And it may take 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. But guess what? Here it comes. And you can hear the thing coming. And all of a sudden, it stops. The doors open. And Brad gets inside. How about you? So I'm not a realist when it comes to the Word of God. I believe in living the lifestyle of calling those things that be not as though they were. And again, it's a lifestyle. It's not a magic wand. We don't have any magic here. I don't have a wand. I just can't go poof and all of a sudden all of your problems are gone. No, you're going to have to live by faith. Amen. Hast thou faith, the Bible said, have it to thyself before God. I can't have faith for you. Nobody else can have faith for you. You must have it by yourself and you must get it from the Word of God. So let's continue reading here in Romans chapter 4. Who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. In hope, he believed. In hope, against hope. When there wasn't any reason to believe that God was going to give him a son, listen, Abraham is 100 years old. His wife, Sarah, 90 years old, tagging along behind him. I mean, she's beyond childbearing years. She's 90, Abraham is 100. But in hope, against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations. Can you imagine this? 100 years old, God hadn't changed at all. When he first met Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you the father of nations. Well, I mean, he's got a long time, 24 years. Get this, 24 years. He has not seen the manifestation of the problem. And a lot of that was his fault and Sarah's fault because they would get into doubt and unbelief. Yeah, remember, you know, when Sarah came to him and said, here's my handmaiden. I know what God wants to do. God wants us to have a child through her. And of course, you know what Abraham said. He said, far be it from me to do such a thing, Sarah. No, he probably said, now, where is she at? Bring her here. Listen, he chose plan B. And that was part of the reason. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. We don't see in the scriptures where God spoke to Abraham after that for 13 years. The number 13, according to biblical numerology, is the number for rebellion. Abraham and Sarah got into rebellion against the promise of God by trying to establish plan B. How many times have we gotten into trouble because we went with plan B rather than plan A? Don't take plan B to God and ask him to bless it when he's already blessed plan A. Take the plan that God has already blessed. So, but there was a time that he got into faith. Well, how did Abraham get into faith? Well, before Abraham was his name, it was Abram. Abraham means father of nations. Because you imagine this. He's 99 years old. God changed his name, and basically God forced him to speak the promise. So everywhere Abraham goes, they say, hey, who are you? Well, I'm Abraham. Well, what everybody understood when he said Abraham was father of nations. So, yeah, I'm the father of nations. His servants would come to him. Father of nations, where do I dig the well? Father of nations, where do we feed the sheep? He heard it continually. Father of nations, father of nations. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We'll get into that. And so he kept hearing father of nations, and it got on the inside of him. And so in hope, against hope, or when there was no reason to hope whatsoever, he believed in order that he might become the father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. Father God spoke it through the inspired scriptures. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And the same is true concerning anything that God spoke, any promise that he's made available to you. They're right here in the book. You can believe to receive them, but you got to begin to say them. God changed his name, which forced him to speak the promise, speak the end result. And guess what? At the age of 100, Sarah at the age of 90, she conceived and brought forth a child that God had promised that would start the lineage of Abraham being the father of many, many nations, and he's still recognized to this day. You know, in some respects, the name of Abraham is mentioned more than the name of God. Now, I don't think it ought to be that way, but I mean, even the Muslims recognize Abraham. And so that made a big difference. Look at Genesis chapter 12, and we'll begin at verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, there was the promise when God met him, when his name was Abram. And for 24 years, he's not a bit closer to the promised child, Isaac, than he was the day God gave the promise. Well, whose fault was that? Well, it wasn't God's fault, because God would say something about Sarah and Abraham producing a child, and Abraham would fall to the ground laughing. Just one time he fell to the ground laughing at the promise of God. Well, he certainly wasn't in faith, but you know, by the time we get to the book of Romans, God doesn't even mention that time. He doesn't mention that time that he went from doubt and unbelief to where he went to faith. Faith will always supersede all of your doubt and all of your unbelief and all of your fear. That's why you've got to get in faith. Amen? So he hadn't seen the manifestation of the promise in 24 years. But from the time that God changed his name, in 1 year they had the promised child. So God changes his name from Abram to Abraham, and now here we got a year left. Well, at the end of that year, they have the promised child who he named Isaac. So think with me. Let's say we got about 9 months period of Sarah being pregnant with Isaac. In 3 months, oh, hallelujah, 24 years of not being any closer to the promise than the day God gave it. But in around 3 months or less, Abraham went from doubt and unbelief into faith. If Abraham could do it, you can do it. You can turn it around by saying what God said, because God forced him to speak the promise. And oh, by the way, God said, I want you to name the child Isaac. And you know what Isaac means? Laughter. Guess who got the last laugh? It was God. God said, you laughed at me? You laughed at my promise? Well, we're going to name your child Laughter. Amen. Let you and I turn some things around concerning some things you desire in your life. I want you to say this out loud with me. Heavenly Father, today I stop the storm. Today I move the mountain. I command the mountain to go from me. I command the sickness to go. I command poverty to go from me and blessings to come. I call for healing to come. Healing come into my life. Blessing of God come into my life. Prosperity come into my life. Miracle come into my life. And I believe to receive it in the strong name of Jesus. And I enter into rest. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, we've been leading you in prayers of faith or declarations of faith. If you would, please go to hisimageministries.faith, our website. You can see how to communicate with us. Let us know how the Word of God is changing and impacting your life. We're not trying to get from you. Our desire is to get something to you. But please write us, let us know what's going on in your life. Amen. And if you're near Hickory, North Carolina, we want to invite you to His Image Ministries right here in Hickory, North Carolina. You will be glad you did. Well, I can see, like always, our time has slipped away from us. But remember, just like always, we're here to help you make your faith connection today.